Hello and welcome once again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Washing Word. This is a ministry that teaches God's Word in a verse-by-verse format. My name is Matthew and my wife Victoria. We own and operate the Washing Word hand car washing business. And we opened up this business so that we can give God's Word in a verse-by-verse format, giving you the entire counsel of everything God has to say, the good, the bad, and the stuff we don't want to hear. And we do this because we believe that too many churches today have gotten away from preaching the fullness and the entirety of God's Word. And we quit our jobs, our good paying benefits jobs, to start our own little car washing business so that we can get God's Word out there. And this is what we're doing. And we pray that it's blessing you. And we're going to pick up, because it's verse by verse, we're going to pick it up here in the Gospel of John chapter 11. We are at the section where Jesus has just come back to where Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And there were three things in this part of this story of Lazarus that we were looking at. And two teachings ago, we looked at Martha's faith. Our last teaching, we looked at Mary's grief. And today we're going to look at Lazarus' life. And this will be the final reading in this section of Scripture regarding this miracle of resuscitation. And yes, I said resuscitation, not resurrection. Lazarus was not resurrected. He was resuscitated. And the difference, if you're asking what the difference is, resurrection does not bring forth another death, whereas resuscitation does. Lazarus did die again later on in life. Now, let's get back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching, and picking it up in verse 38, we read, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Well, what an amazing and fantastic miracle, isn't it? Not only is he raised him from the dead, but he went 4 days, which is interesting because the fourth day is when the decay begins to take place. And this really a lot. This does tie in with Jesus is only being in the tomb for 3 days, because the Bible says that the Savior will not experience decay, and that's why he was raised after 3 days. But here we see a fourth day, and this done deliberately so that the glory of God can be to be exposed through this rising. But let's talk a minute about faithfulness. I know we're kind of regressing because we've been talking about faith a lot, you know, and I mean, why not? It's strewn throughout the pages of the Bible. But back in, you know, when we talked about Martha's role in this particular miracle, Martha had, you know, a lot of faith. She demonstrated that from, you know, asking where he had been to believing that he would rise back to now saying, wait, to Jesus, stop. Don't do this. That odor, i.e., he's going to stink. So she's back to doubt again. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about Lazarus' life today, but part of Lazarus' life is leading up to this miracle. And Martha's faith, or even faithlessness, really kind of runs the gamut here, doesn't it? You know, she believes him, she runs out, shows that faith in action. Jesus reveals more things to her about the resurrection. She believes even that. And yet, after all that, there she stands before the tomb and still says, hold on, you sure you want to do this? Homeboy gonna stink. That's actually what the Greek says that. But no, but here's what I want to touch on, because there's a difference between faithlessness and doubt, or wavering faith, as it were. There's a difference between wavering faith, as James says, about a faith, you know, having faith like waves on the sea, tossing back and forth. So the difference between that and doubt. So you might say, what is the difference between wavering faith and doubt? Sounds the same to me, oh handsome radio preacher. Well, here's the difference, and pay attention. Doubt is an attack on faith. And where there is no faith, there is no doubt. Let me say that again. Doubt is an attack on faith. And where there is no faith, there is no doubt. I mean, let's face it, we all doubt God sometimes, don't we? But you got to remember what the root of those doubts are and where they come from. Those doubts usually stem from the devil, who is always attacking your faith. I mean, we all doubt at times, which is why I'm always preaching and teaching that we all need to stay in our word. You know, we need to open it up and stay in it daily. We need to be in prayer often. And we need to be in fellowship with like-minded believers. These things are so important. And sometimes we doubt simply because of God's goodness. Does that make sense? My wife and I are kind of experiencing something like that now, where we've had so many difficult things take place in recent times that when things go good, we begin to get nervous. We doubt that the goodness that we are experiencing is going to last. I mean, we're not doubting that God is good and that he does good things, but we doubt because of God's goodness. And it's almost a scary thing. I made more sense when I kind of wrote that, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Anyway, getting back to this miracle, and it's truly an amazing miracle. But we see there's even more in this. It's like the commercial that says, but wait, there's more. If you act now, you'll receive. And so not only is there this great miracle, well, listen to John 14:12, which we'll get to in a few weeks. But it says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And you read scripture like that and you say to yourself, well, what could be greater than Jesus resurrecting a dead man of 4 days? Listen, when we witness for Christ, you know, that's, we wonder, how could that be better than Jesus raising a dead man out of the grave? I mean, what really could be greater than that? But listen, your testimony and your witness is also doing the same thing. It is raising dead people and raising them to eternal life. No, you don't have that power, obviously, to do that. But by your testimony, by your witness, you have a greater ability. Jesus says you will be able to do greater things than what I have just done here. And people who hear that say, you just raised a man from the dead. How are we going to do greater things than that? Because, friends, by your testimony, you can not only raise people from spiritual deadness, but you raise them into eternal life with God. Is that not greater than a simple resuscitation of one human being? So yes, we will do greater things simply by the fact that we have the power through our words and through Christ's power to do this, to raise people from their spiritual deadness. And don't say that that's God's job, not mine. I can't give eternal life. Of course you can't. But you do have a role to play. And even in the case here in our story, Jesus was about to raise the dead. And he says to the people, move the stone. He commands men to move the stone. And you might be reading that going, well, big deal. You know, it seems like something we would just want to gloss over. I mean, if the Son of God, who's about to raise a man of 4 days dead, about to raise him back to life, if the Son of God can do that, why can't he just roll the stone away? But no, he commands it of men. And listen, this is important not to miss, because most miracles or most acts of God, they don't even have to be full-blown miracles, but just acts of God in the world today, they're a combination of divine and human work together. And just as the two were about to unfold, that is, the divine nature of God's resurrection or resuscitation of Lazarus and the human work of men rolling the stone away, Martha pleads, wait, wait. And as we wind this teaching down today, I want to leave you with the same thing Jesus left Martha with. He did not rebuke her. What did he do? Jesus reminded her. You know, Jesus could have easily rebuked Martha, even gently could have said, Martha, didn't you just meet me out on the road as I was on my way here? Didn't we just have a conversation about this? Haven't I already shown enough? Yet Martha still doubted. And you know, let's not get on Martha, because we do the same thing. We all have seen so much of God in our lives, yet there are times that we still tend to doubt. And in verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Now let's get back to the last part of this three-part mini-series we've done, and that is Lazarus's life. Listen, God's word is so good. You know, we read it, and we are encouraged by it, and we are strengthened, but then we are so quick to forget, aren't we? I mean, sometimes we forget the pastor's sermon on our way to the car. You cannot rely on a person to remind you of his word, of God's word, or anyone else for that matter. Remember, and here is your reminder, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. And God's personal reminders and God's personal encouragements and God's personal strengthenings are found in his word for you personally. So read it. Get into it. Because having strengthened Martha here, not rebuking her, but strengthening her, saying, didn't I tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And now that he has strengthened Martha, he raises Lazarus. And by name, this is why I'm telling you, it's a personal thing you have to do. By name, he rises. His raising here and Lazarus's life teach us two things, and we'll close with those. Verse 44 says, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off your grave clothes and let him go. And the first thing that his life, Lazarus's life, teaches us is only Jesus can raise us from the dead. And not just when we die, but even now in our walking dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And Colossians 2:13 says, you were dead in your sins and God made you alive in Christ. So not only can Jesus raise us from the dead, but risen people must shed their grave clothes. That's the last thing he said. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Listen, if you are free in Christ, you are free indeed. So remove your grave clothes and walk boldly before the throne of God, and you too will see greater things and do greater things than these. May you be richly blessed by these Bible messages. And we hope to see you at the Washing Word. You can go to washingword.com for all the information. Have a blessed day.